comes to pop, not soda.
It's pop. Like this. Pop.
Welcome to Pop, Not Soda. And now it's time for Brian and... Oh, damn. Enjoy the show!
Other worst day we could have had to decide to live stream an episode than today.
Like, pretty much everything fell apart.
Yeah, I'm not blaming Brett and LFO, but dude, I just feel like you had to bring up
the band that I was...
I don't think you blame LFO at all. All they did was make great music.
I don't think that's... No, you can't call that great.
Shout out to LFO.
So Allison and I were walking today, and we were thinking, like, it would be so funny to intro this episode with the... New Kids on the Block had a bunch
of
hits.
Oh, now I'm even
like,
more upset that that was why you downloaded
Summer
it.
Girls. Well, I thought it would be funny to surprise you guys with it. Come to find out, I got like 10 viruses now on my PC. And
I'm the one that gave you the viruses.
Yeah.
Because you thought you should download something.
I think I'm going to call Ahmed and his 12345 number again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's like episode 8 from the first season. If you
That's a callback right there.
Well, did you see LFO and then accidentally click giant black dicks? Because that's a really common problem.
Brian makes that
internet.
Mistake all the time. Yeah. Every time he goes to twit something online, he accidentally clits giant black dicks.
I love how... So we were talking about it, though. I love how that
it's
guy's...
Tough
that guy's rapping completely made
really
no sense.
I thought you were going to talk about you liked black too. Okay. Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense at all.
About that too. But yeah, New Kids on the Block had a bunch of hits.
Chinese food makes me sit.
And I think it's fly when the girls stop by for the summer.
Yeah.
What?
Sounds a little racist.
The hell?
What Chinese food is he eating? Yeah. Because it's delicious.
Oh, give me some fried rice.
Oh, and Panda Express all day long.
That's not Chinese food, okay?
Well, I mean, technically, better orange chicken than I'm going to get
wait,
it.
Wait, you're the Asian one of the group.
Yeah.
We have Chinese food.
I'm not trying to fret,
yeah,
dude.
Panda Express.
Orange chicken at Panda Express over everything.
No, bro, you got to go to Weiwei.
You got to get that MSG. You have to have the MSG. That's what makes Chinese
MSG
food good.
MSG isn't everything.
Yeah, it just tastes good, though.
When people say there's no MSG, there's multiple counts of MSG.
And that's why exactly. The food doesn't taste good to me.
Because
anyway,
no welcome. MSG.
Welcome to Pop Not Soda. Episode 19, season 2. You may have already seen some of this or listened to some of this episode as we are live streaming on Facebook Live right now in some sort of camera angle. I hope it's not terrible.
Dan has like a finger gun. Yeah, it's like a Hitchcock angle. In the
yeah,
corner
that's
of
the
our room.
Only way I could jerry rig it. Okay.
Yeah. So we got.
We, you know, our budget here isn't as lucrative as I would hope.
Or
tripping on my words.
Or in existence.
What did you put in my drink?
It was a pretty heavy pour.
Yeah,
I will admit it.
You got me tripping over words here.
Yeah.
We've got a pretty stacked episode for you today. We're going to jump into some WWE 2K17.
Drama.
Yeah, drama about that. Old men arguing. Brian is reviewing The Hateful Eight.
Mm-hmm.
Quentin Tarantino's 3-hour Western. That was. Did you see it on the, what was it, 70mm?
Yes. It's what he shot it on, so yes.
Oh, yeah, nice. And so wait, you watched it at home, so you saw a digital copy.
Well, no, but I think he compressed it. He oversaw the compression of that, so.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
It you can tell.
That's
yeah,
cool.
You can tell.
It's like a Paul Thomas Anderson approach. Right? Yeah.
We're going to talk Drake and his status at the top of the charts.
Hello.
Drake Drizzy. Drizzy
little,
Drake.
A little bit of a music roundtable. Maybe talk more about Brett's obsession with LFO. But first.
Healthy obsession.
Some
more
breaking,
Abercrombie
some,
and Fitch. Though.
Some breaking news. Not so much breaking as it came out last night and we're talking about it today. But John Jones has been reported to have a potential positive test by the USADA, USADA, anti-doping agency.
And this is John Jones, the main event card
for
the UFC 200 match that's happening this Saturday.
Title
or last Saturday. Yeah. No.
What a rematch, too, for the title.
That's crazy. He's already had personal problems.
Well, he
that
had
have kept
that,
him away
he
from
had that
UFC.
Drunk driving incident where he hit somebody, and so like he was suspended.
Okay, So, oh, I thought it was like a domestic thing, too. Is there no domestic background to this?
Him, no.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So
drunk. So he's drunk driving.
I know you want to assume these days.
You know, always want to throw that card in the mix. But so he,
you heard that face, Butch.
Falsely throw that card in the mix.
That any more trump cards you like to play?
No, not right now. Not right now, actually. But so drunk driving. He's back now, and he...
It was going to be his first fight back.
First fight back.
Second fight back, because remember, didn't he come back?
No, I don't think he ever came back. This is his first fight back. Yeah, I think there was an issue with him coming back before, and now there's an issue now because he violated the drug, or the
anti-doping.
Yeah, and
UFC's taking a pretty strong stance against doping.
Because they're a concussion sport. I mean, I think anybody that's dealing with any sort of concussion...
It's the closest thing you did to a freaking gladiator, man.
Yeah, exactly. I think any time somebody's potentially violating a drug policy with that sport in mind, there are a lot of more repercussions in place that they just need to take a hard stance with. And this is the one thing that I actually think Dana White has done right. I can't see any other way you would handle this situation.
Yeah. And I'm so upset that this happened because this was going to be like maybe the greatest fight card ever at the UFC.
You got Lesnar coming back?
Yeah, so talking about that. So what is going to be, what still is probably the most hype UFC event is being headlined by a WWE guy. Yep. So you know Vince McMahon.
In his first fight back, too.
Yeah, in his first fight. Vince McMahon is loving this.
Well, and let's be sure, too, because I saw it today. I think they're going to officially name Brock Lesnar's SummerSlam opponent so that UFC can tease that during his fight on Saturday.
Well, so, you know, SmackDown films on Tuesdays.
Oh, so they already did.
Premieres in Canada on Wednesdays.
Ooh.
So
Canadian Pulse Dan over here.
You know me. Get my Canadian news hot off the maple syrup press. His opponent will be the returning
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton.
Oh shit!
Interesting.
Okay.
So
will be great to watch.
I can't believe that he can do both at the same time.
The guy's a freak.
I can't believe that either organization would.
I mean,
let him do that.
You know, his routine is eat, sleep, conquer, repeat. Like, I mean, he kind of tells you.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's not human, but I'm saying
he's not.
Yeah.
Have you seen him? He's got more cut.
Well, yeah, he's going back to Ultimate Fighting. He's got to fight.
It's
for
ridiculous.
25 minutes.
Yeah, like, the guy looks more fit than he did in WWE, and that's what I think at the end of the day. Because I saw an interview with Joe Rogan about it too, and Joe Rogan's talking about. I mean, when you look at this guy, he's in another league on his own. Yeah. He doesn't even have to train. He's in another league on his own. His head is more bigger than anybody else's head. More bigger. Yes. The guy is just built completely freakishly, and what do you guys think? Will it go beyond the first round?
Oh well, a lot of people think he may not win.
Really?
Because he hasn't
his first fight back.
Yeah.
I mean,
years.
But has that ever been a problem? For
I still think Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I
takes
still think Brock Lesnar surprises with a second round,
Dan,
knockout or TKO.
Okay, how about you, Brian?
I'm going third round.
Decision?
Rear naked choke.
Rear naked choke. Okay.
Well, it's a championship fight, so it goes five rounds.
Is it a championship fight?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I thought it was.
Okay.
Are you sure? What championship? I don't think what's his face has a. We would get short
round.
We'll check
it out.
But short round's absent today.
Yeah.
He's fixing my PC right now.
Yeah.
Trying to.
So I cannot fat check that. But if it is, I thought it was only a 3-round fight because I didn't think it was for a title. But if it is for a title, it'll be 5 rounds.
Right. I could be mistaken. But either way, I'm going Lesnar rear naked choke, round 3.
I think he's going to take it in the first round. I really do. I just the way that guy comes out as soon as the bell rings, any grown man would shit their pants.
Here's another question.
I cannot.
Does Paul Heyman walk him out?
He should.
I would
or at
love
at least give
for
him a high five
best,
in the front
Dana
row.
Dana White's
best,
client now.
The best cross promotion would be like before any music starts for Brock and there's any walk, you just hear on the microphone, "My name is Paul Heyman." I would love it. I would absolutely love it. Like,
then it kicks the music in. Yeah.
Or even have him talk.
Yeah.
Because Paul Heyman can sell anything.
So I got a question about that, because I haven't really been that much interested in UFC. And have you guys been interested in that?
Oh, yeah. Like, I love Conor McGregor.
Okay, okay. Conor McGregor. But I mean, like, in the last 50 UFCs
honestly,
or so?
Yeah. When Anderson Silva, you know, left after John Jones
rubber
got suspended.
Band man.
Yeah, it just, yeah.
It, like, I feel it.
And Brock Lesnar left too, you know? When those three guys got done fighting, there was just no one with as much, like, charisma or had that entertainment factor that
and
those
I
guys
think
did.
Faber came along for a while, but even that became boring.
Yeah.
Like, even that was just boring or whatever, but...
You had Chael Sonnen, who just did drugs and couldn't win.
Yeah, but, I mean, Conor McGregor, like, he's great, don't get me wrong, but obviously losing to Nick Diaz, you know, definitely hurts his legacy, and I get it. He, you know, tried to walk up too many weight classes.
Speaking of Nick Diaz, you hear that he said everybody's on steroids?
Yeah.
Oh, he's blowing. Yeah, I mean, he's
maybe not the,
curtain.
The best thing to say at your
and
press
he's pulling
conference.
The curtain, yeah.
I believe him though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like when it comes to the you know PED conversation, I think it's very hard for an athlete who takes any sort of supplement to truly know what they're taking, because supplements in the United States are so unregulated that they can change their formulas all the time. So like if John Jones says he was taking a supplement, which could have been legal previously, they have then changed their formula to include a, you know, ingredient that is banned. So like you have to be so up on everything that you're taking to understand that you like, if you're taking any sort of supplement, you're running that risk of ingesting a, you know, a banned substance without your knowledge.
But to me, like on that note, and I'll totally forgive, because I think there's a shitload of supplements that are going into all these formulas now. Nobody knows. You saw Antonio Gates got popped on that. That's probably one of the people that I believe in the most that probably did not intend on doing it or whatever. But at the end of the day, you're talking about an athlete that is strictly gauged on performance, and they're completely concerned about their performance too. So I think at some point when you have a regimen, like a weightlifting regimen and a physical regimen and all this stuff, and at some point when you've constantly done that for so long and you've seen the increases been so, you know, minimal or just very, very patterned, and then all of a sudden it just increases, that may be the time where you're going, dude, I need to talk to somebody.
Well, yeah,
and
Bonds,
like I may have taken
grows
something
like four sizes.
Yeah, like I think you're completely aware as an athlete where you see a spike in things where you generally go like, this might not be natural.
But I think Antonio Gates is a great example of something in which you're taking a supplement, dietary, recovery, anything like that that's sold legally in the U.S. That
not FDA regulated.
Yeah, because
but just sold. Yeah.
Because substances cannot be FDA regulated in the US. It's crazy. If you ever want to look that up, Facebook on the podcast, really do some research into how just unregulated the supplement market is in the United States. And you'll understand that you're gonna try and cut corners. You're gonna try and get any sort of upper leg you can, and when people try to do it legally, you run the risk of accidentally ingesting something that's illegal.
Yeah, I think it goes both ways, and I do believe that a lot of professional athletes still take illegal performance enhancing drugs across
definitely.
All sports, so there's obviously no blame there.
Baseball's I think the worst.
Yeah, for sure. College kids, I mean, are shooting up. Definitely give me a break. But I also understand that someone could take something, they could change it, you know, a couple years from when you started taking something that used to be approved. But at the end of the day, you got to have a point of contact within the league to go to and say, hey, I'm taking this. Is it okay?
Yeah, like, it's still
no
your responsibility to be checking.
Exactly. There's no excuse every year. You can't, a professional athlete in whatever sport can't call up the league and say, hey, I'm taking XYZ. I want to make sure that these are all still good.
Sure you have people that are listening to this right now going like, well, why don't they create a committee like that in every single sport? And it's like, there is no incentive to do that, because that's just creating the gray area more that these sports can't already enforce these rules upon these athletes that are completely aware and are violating these rules.
And to get it straight, I mean, there's so many differences between like doping, which is what like Lance Armstrong has been accused of doing in blood doping, versus taking steroids and HGH, to, you know, taking a supplement in which contains a banned substance. Like, I can't remember, but one football player took like cough medicine that had a banned substance in it and got nicked for it. Like, he
sipping on that syrup.
Yeah. Oh, this was the other thing. You know what John Jones got banned for? It was cocaine. So he was taking a recreational drug.
I forgot about cocaine that. Before a fight.
Not before. It was after. Like, he had won. So he celebrated, had a little bit of cocaine, you know, just a little bit of coke at the club.
Right. Obviously,
and,
in Vegas.
I mean. He got popped for it. And that's why I think he was serving his most recent suspension. But it was just hard. And if you watch his press
and
conference,
does no
and
athlete,
cried,
like, in the UFC have that, like, team, like, have that consciousness to go, like,
thing.
You know what?
Like,
I need to hire, like, a team to kind of follow me.
And that's tough, man. Like, it's hard for us to be in the chairs that we
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you can't put
really
yourself
say,
in the
like,
shoes, yeah.
Yeah, man, you're on. I
when
mean,
you're in your 20s, you just won the light heavyweight
he's
championship.
He's 28.
In
he's
the
younger
world,
than you guys.
You're in Vegas,
straight to the club.
You're fucking partying,
yeah.
And someone's like, "Hey, man, take this bump. Yeah. You deserve it."
You know what? He needs to hang out with Matthew Dellavedova, and just so he's sipping
Corona
on those Corona
minis.
Minis.
Just drink your Corona minis.
I'm still holding on to that bet, guys. I hope you know.
So speaking of steroids, WWE, who has a checkered past, I would say, with performance enhancing drugs.
Check out a Vince McMahon interview from the late 90s.
Yeah.
And
or
yeah.
What about Stephanie McMahon when she compared September 11th to her family being under attack by the government? Oh, yeah. That's a SmackDown clip from 2001.
Did not know that happened.
Yeah. I do not remember
yeah,
that.
You may want to look that up. But speaking of WWE, there was a press conference for WWE 2K7 because Brock Lesnar, who it is the summer of Brock Lesnar, is on the cover.
And that's basically the annual video game, basically like the Madden.
Yeah.
And it comes out for the wrestling sport every single year. I think it's been out for the last 10 years.
And I think it's consistently one of the top 10 most popular sport video games.
Well, I think it's the only wrestling game that's made now, right? It
yeah.
seems to be
well,
like
other
every
than
sport.
Like some shitty like what was that? Legends of like wrestling. And,
well,
right,
and that's like I would say that's where you get into gray area yeah. because you have licenses and yeah. when you have enough money, you buy licenses. It doesn't make sure that the game is at all good or workable or whatever, but you have the license to pop everybody's name in there, which I think is the more sellable product these days, especially when you're buying a fucking wrestling game
yeah,
out of everything.
So Brett, there was apparently a press conference with Brett the Hitman Hart, your favorite wrestler.
Yes.
And everyone's favorite shoveler, Triple H.
Yep, Triple H. So basically they came out and 2K17, I think everybody knows that like when Madden comes out, when MLB comes out or whatever, they do these statistics rankings. And they rank everybody based on how
yeah, like
they
LeBron
perform.
Is like a 99 in NBA 2K every year.
Yeah.
Steph Curry's shot is 99.
But you still can't shoot as good as he shoots in real life.
Right. He broke the
That's what's
game.
Crazy. He broke the game.
Unless
the
it's finals, game. Curry, because then you can shoot as – you'd probably shoot better than him.
True.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
True.
That mod comes in. Yeah. Around the finals time or whatever.
The choke mod.
Yeah, yeah. Well, long story short or whatever, basically they came out with these statistics or whatever. They're going through all everybody's statistics. You got Big Show at 92. You got blah, blah,
wait,
blah,
whoa,
blah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Please tell me he's not 92.
No, I just mean
like,
92, like arbitrary.
9,200 kilos?
Yeah, yeah. 92
minus
30. 92 stones? Is 90, that what he was?
92,000 people that don't like him and don't want to see him wrestle anymore. But you've got him. Goldberg was in there. I guess
oh,
they're bringing
yeah, Goldberg
back.
Who may make a return to WWE.
Who the fuck
oh.
wants to see that guy?
He's,
I mean,
he's got to be old as fuck.
He's an
days,
asshole.
Right?
He's like 50.
Well, and he's the worst wrestler. When you actually see him perform, he's terrible.
Oh, he can't wrestle. He's not, yeah.
Yeah, he's terrible.
There's a famous match, if you want to look it up, between him and
Bret
Regal.
Hart.
No, it's between
oh, Regal
William
beat the
Regal
shit out of him.
For 6 minutes. And this is like when they were doing his undefeated thing, and he can't wrestle a 6 minute match. He just doesn't know how to do it. And
yeah.
it looks terrible.
And it was Regal's point of basically going like, listen, you're a kid. You have no idea what you're doing, and the company is way behind you. I'm
and
pissed, and I'm going to shake
Goldberg,
the shit out of you
Goldberg
right now.
Goldberg doesn't
yeah.
care.
Yeah, yeah. So,
anyway.
But Goldberg, on that note, gave the concussion to Bret Hart. Bret Hart yep. hears this situation come out, and they're going through the statistics, and it's like going down. Because
he's there publicizing
down.
The game, right?
All
right,
we got 92s, we got 91s, we got 90s, we got 89s, we got 88s, 87s, 86s. Bret Hart, 85. And he's like, what the hell, man? Like, the Hitman from back in the day?
Not 2010 Bret Hart right. that like could limp out to the ring.
Oh no, yeah. No, no, we're not talking.
That's when Crisco and his hair and eating cheeseburger.
Wait, wait, is he? Did they like tack on an injury restriction because of his cancer?
Maybe this is pre WCW jump or something like that. Hmm. But he was at the peak,
but
though.
Still,
I think.
He was in the main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, so he goes apeshit. And I guess in this, like, this room of athletes, everybody's like there for the announcement. They've been, you know, given that bullshit company, like, hey, just be here, show your face or whatever.
Tug the line.
Yeah, just kind of show your face, show your support for this thing or whatever.
Be the company man.
Yeah, they go to this thing and Bret Hart goes, 85? Dude, Triple H is 98. He can't even strap my fucking boots. And he's 98? And I guess that started this whole shitstorm or whatever. And it, as much as I like Bret Hart, he's my favorite. It's a video game, bro. And
there's more important
Calm
things
down.
In life.
Yeah, yeah. Keep your tights on.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be fair, one person's still wrestling versus the other.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. On that note, we'll see if HGH or anything like that comes in. That's what he should change his name to. HGH.
Not Triple H.
Not Triple H anymore.
That'd be more fitting, for sure.
It's just like, I mean, you have to understand, Triple H married into the McMahons, and nobody gets a better play in the WWE
than
a
made
McMahon.
Man.
That's what
He's
I'm
a
saying.
Made
yeah,
man.
Like, the made man always gets the perks. The boss always gets
they
the perks.
They get the best parking spot. They get the best office. They get the best rating in the video game created for your company.
The yeah. private bathroom.
So yeah. what
the executive suite bathroom.
Like, yep. On that note, what's kind of going through my head is, like, what was the mentality of Bret Hart driving up to the situation of going, like, dude, I can't wait for them to... you know, acknowledge the IC belt run back in 94 when I had that 60-minute match with Shawn Michaels. Yeah, that's at least in 94.
Didn't he drop the world heavyweight belt to Yokozuna, who then dropped it right away to Hulk Hogan at, like, WrestleMania?
Yeah, and I think Bret Hart actually helped him out win that, too. Yeah,
because Yokozuna Hulk Hogan
like
said that
powder or some shit like that.
You know, he didn't want to face Bret Hart because Bret Hart wasn't worthy of being in a match with Hulk Hogan.
I know there's a... deep-rooted hatred between those two, too.
Well, Bret Hart just seems like he was a
complete there's a deep-rooted hatred in Hulk Hogan for lots of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll tell you, you know, he
Gawker,
seems...
looking at you.
Bret Hart...
Black people? Hulk's looking at you?
Bret Hart seems like a dick, but at the end of the day, I think he just, from the very get-go, he got into an industry that he was like, listen, I'm a hard worker. I want acknowledgement for my hard work. If I don't get it, it's your guys' fucking problem, and I'll still keep doing it until you guys actually acknowledge that I'm actually working very, very hard for this. They never did that, and now he's going, 20 years from now, wait, I still had this expectation that you guys were acknowledging hard work, and they're like,
I mean, really,
nah, bro,
his
this
career,
is a corporate.
His
do you
career,
know we went public like 6 years ago?
His career probably would have been better off if he never left WWE.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, completely. 100%. Yeah. Completely.
He wouldn't have been booked so poorly because he just jumped into WCW on its downspin.
As terrible as this sounds, and this is going to get like way out there, I actually don't know if Owen Hart would have passed away had Bret Hart stayed in WWE.
No, I thought...
they were doing the,
that
no,
was
the
before,
Blue Meanie.
Wasn't it?
No, no. So that whole bit was created after Bret Hart left. And they had all this stuff going on or whatever, where I actually think that Bret Hart had enough creative control to kind of go at that time, like, listen, McMahon, like, even if it's not me, don't fucking do this to my family. Like,
yeah.
Don't.
Yeah, well,
no, like, what
should,
are you
should,
doing
I guess,
stressing
I guess
him up
team. You know, Bret Hart did lose his brother, so just give him an 88. Just give him an 88, guys. Just make
90?
It someone. No, 89? 88.
89?
Okay, 88 and a half. Make him the only wrestler with a .5.
So you're saying the sharpshooter doesn't bring him up to 90 territory? That was the move back in the day,
yeah.
Dan.
The only submission move.
The only submission move. And that doesn't get him up to 90s?
Figure four leg. Figure
four Are you kidding me?
Right.
You know what, Dan?
So you know, figure four leg.
Speaking of WWE, real quick before we head to break, this week is the brand split and draft. It is happening tomorrow night as you listen to this episode. Next Tuesday for those watching us on Facebook. What is one expectation or one thing that you one prediction you have for the WWE brand split and draft?
I think, and to be honest, I don't know what the rules are, but if there aren't trades in place or if there aren't talk about trades, I think they're going to orchestrate one.
Ooh. I like
so it should be like when John Cena was drafted to SmackDown, but at the end of the night he got drafted for the last pit to Raw, which makes complete sense.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. They're going to do some sort of swap.
A little trade?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's going to create a big reaction.
I think Jericho pulls an Eli Manning. And doesn't go with the squad that originally drafts him.
So you mean he doesn't go to SmackDown?
Yeah.
And he puts on a little pouty face?
Yep.
With his scarf. I don't want to go. All
right. My prediction would be that Finn Balor, Bayley, and American Alpha are all drafted by main rosters.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
So if you don't know who those people are, that would be the NXT former champion, former women's champion, and most recent former champions, because American Alpha would be the most recent former tag team champions.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And just a small plug, when you're done watching, I just lost my train of thought. When you're done watching UFC 200 on July 13th, is Shinsuke Nakamura versus Finn Balor on NXT.
Don't watch the deletion.
Don't watch the deletion. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to need a break from this now.
We will catch you on the flip side. We'll be back with Brian's movie review. We got the Hateful Eight. We got Drake.
Hate.
Potentially beating somebody.
At the top.
And
he's got a view from the top. Or views.
He's beating a woman.
Oh.
But in a musical sense.
Really? You got to pull a Brett on this?
And on the flip side.
All right. Well, getting over Dan's unimpressed face. It's Brian here, hitting you with my weekly movie review. This week, I will be talking about the marathon, Hateful Eight, directed by one of my all-time faves, Quentin Tarantino, or as his close friends call him, Cutie Pie. That's actually a lie. I don't know if that's true, but I really wish it is. So anyway, Hateful Eight, Quentin Tarantino's latest film written and directed by the young man. Runtime of about 3 hours and 10 minutes. It's a long one. I honestly think they probably could have cut out the first hour. Would have been fine. I mean, maybe not the first hour. Maybe like the first 45 minutes. Because they spend a lot of time on the journey to this cabin. Basically, the plot of this movie, it follows around a lot of characters, as you can imagine, with a title like Hateful Eight. But basically, there's one character who is captured. She is a member of a gang, so she has a very large bounty on her head. Kurt Russell plays a bounty hunter as well as Samuel L. Jackson. They end up catching the same ride up to this cabin they stop at because there's this blizzard. They get inside the blizzard. There is a collection of characters, and shit eventually goes down, which I won't ruin because that's like the whole climax of the movie.
Is it pretty hateful?
It's very hateful. I'll just say a lot of bullets to the face. Yeah. Greg Nicotero actually was the lead makeup guy this film. If you're not familiar with Greg Nicotero, he is very famous for doing a lot of the makeup for The Walking Dead. He also directed a handful of episodes for the TV show as well. But there's some pretty brutal shit in it. And, you know, knowing Quentin Tarantino and his style of filmmaking, it definitely falls into suit with this film. You just got to wait a lot longer than normal because, honestly, things don't – like, action doesn't start happening until probably 2 hours into the movie.
So get your popcorn early.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could just take a nap through the first, like, 55, 60 minutes. But yeah, you know, a lot of usual suspects in this movie – Samuel Jackson, which has, you know, obviously been in a few Tarantino movies. You have Tim Roth, who's been in a couple. Michael Madsen, also been in a couple. Kurt Russell, who I don't think was in any of his like real famous films, but I know he was in that driving movie that Tarantino
Death Ride
directed.
Death Cab or something
like that. It was the dual movie that he directed with Robert Rodriguez.
Death Proof,
yes.
Boom. I didn't want to look it up because I wanted to figure it out.
Right. So yeah, I mean, he likes Quentin Tarantino, obviously likes using the same actors, and I think rightfully so, because Samuel Jackson is awesome. I think that the other characters, you know, do their part, but Samuel Jackson is definitely like the driver of the film, along with Jennifer Jason Leigh and Kurt Russell as well, because Jennifer Jason Leigh is like the reason why everyone ends up being in this cabin, and some good storytelling goes down, and much like his prior films, he likes to tell stories out of order. So you get that here. I mean, for the most part, it's chronological, but then for like the big twist, he, and not necessarily twist, but like a big dramatic point in the movie, he then goes back and explains how that happens. I mean, all in all, a good film, but fuck me, it's just way too long. Again, like, great movie, go watch it, but you could probably check out for, you know, the first hour of it, and you'll still be fine. I, you know, don't necessarily think that Jennifer Jason Leigh should have been nominated you know, for Best Supporting Actress, just because, like, she was great, don't get me wrong, but the character was just
one-dimensional.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
Exactly. Very one-dimensional as well. There's one point in the movie where something like really significant happens, and then she has this monologue right after that, and you're just like, wait, what? Wait, hold on a second. Like, something just happened right in front of you, and you're like really not reacting to it. So this is weird. And if you've seen the movie, you know what I mean, and if you watch it, you'll understand what I mean as well. But you know, one final little sprinkle. They do, you know, announce Channing Tatum, or as Drake would say, Channing Tatum, in the credits. So you know he's in the movie, but he doesn't show up until very close to the end. And then that's when they do the backstory and like do the
good
review.
Role for him.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. He's okay. Great.
23 Jump Street crossover with Quentin Tarantino. Is that what it
is?
Was?
He dressed in a suit in black? Men in Black? Is he Men in Black?
He is wearing very dark garments, not necessarily black, but yeah, he's pretty badass in it. So yeah, I mean, all in all, good movie, just super long. So I would give, God, it's hard, because normally I would give it 4 out of 5, but because it was just painfully long and it literally took me 3 times to sit down and actually get through the whole thing. Got to dock you a point, cutie pie.
Hey,
sorry, bro. So for Hateful Eight, 3 out of 5 quarters.
3 quarters.
Yeah.
Damn. So okay, I gotta ask you, because I think like
that's only like 42 minutes of parking downtown.
Not even in some places.
Oh, it's 36, I think.
Hey, yeah, we're on exactly. All Star Weekend. 12 minutes. We won't even be able to park down there. Those meters are shut off this weekend. So, but with that, you've seen all Quentin Tarantino's movies before, even the ones that he's written: True Romance, Reservoir Dogs, Jackie Brown, Pulp Fiction, Inglourious Basterds, Django Unchained. Where does this one rank?
Kill Bills.
Oh, Kill Bills. Okay.
I definitely towards the bottom. Like all those movies you just named. I mean, to me, probably Reservoir Dogs is 1. Kill Bill Volume 1 is 2. Django's 3. True Romance 4. And then probably Kill Bill Volume 2 is 5. That's my top 5. I mean, well, and fuck, I forgot about Pulp Fiction, so I take that back.
Well, it's funny, though, because you say Pulp Fiction. I don't think Pulp Fiction's near my top on Quentin Tarantino.
I love Pulp Fiction, so that's got to slide in. That's probably 4, True Romance 5.
Say that again.
Pulp Fiction is not my favorite Quentin Tarantino movie.
That's not my favorite, but no, it's definitely top 5.
I think Pulp Fiction sold.
I think it's top 3 for me.
No. Okay, we'll have that talk with another.
With how iconic.
That's what I'm saying.
Especially Pulp Fiction has become. And, oh, man. So good.
Hollywood had never seen anything before Pulp Fiction came out. Had they seen Quentin Tarantino's direction with a full-scale cast and a budget like Pulp Fiction had, I think that precedent would have been set much earlier, and his movies earlier would have been much more appreciated. Probably would have been able to direct True Romance. But it didn't happen. So I think Pulp Fiction's kind of like a...
I think Reservoir Dogs, True Romance, Pulp Fiction, Jane Doe, and then Kill Bill Volume 1. That would be my top five.
Yeah, man, I think...
I love Reservoir Dogs.
I think for me, True Romance, True Romance, True Romance, True Romance, and...
Well, isn't that the movie your dad took you out of school so you guys can go see together?
True Lies, actually. Oh, sorry, yeah, True Lies. But same kind of vein, same time, I think. You know? 92,
yeah, it's very close to the same time. Yeah,
very similar movies as well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not everybody can stay at the top of a list as long as, I guess, Reservoir Dogs to stay at the top of ours, Brian.
Or True Romance.
True Romance.
According to Brett.
No, apparently True Romance is to stay there forever.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
Who do you think you are, Dylon?
Spit hot fire. True Romance spits hot fire.
True Romance, True Romance, True Romance, True Romance.
True Romance.
True Romance. True Romance. That guy, okay.
You know what? I bet you if Dylan put out an album, he could take down Drake.
You know, if anybody hasn't seen True Romance, watch it right now. And then...
No, no, no. Listen to the end of this episode. Go have a McRoyal with cheese. And then come
and
back
let Dylon kill
True Romance.
Yeah, and then let Dylon kill Drake.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, not kill.
It's... I mean, metaphorically speaking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just like he killed Meek Mill. Yeah. I mean, it's
just
not...
murdered him.
There's no criminal action involved.
I mean,
involved.
He did kill
Meek Mill. Still takes the loss.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, the Cavs just beat the Warriors. Meek Mill still takes the loss.
But if you don't know what you're talking about, is Drake's album, Views. Not Views from the Sits. Even though I think that was the original title.
Right.
He just changed the Views. Has been at the Billboard number one spot for 21... How many weeks in a row now?
No, nine weeks in a row.
9 weeks, sorry.
It's Adele's album 21.
Oh!
That holds the record.
Not even 25, it's 21. I'm surprised Taylor Swift doesn't hold some dumb record like this.
She's up there. I think she was second until Drake came along. But I just think it's really interesting because... We've never seen a like hip hop artist, and I'm gonna include Michael Jackson in that at the top since Michael Jackson, like for this extended period of time. And I think it just shows the evolution of music that you can have a guy who can like gangster rap, can kill Meek Mill for God's sakes if he wants to, sings on a song, does these god-awful Haitian beats with Rihanna, you know, dances like an idiot in Hotline Bling and has like the most views ever for a YouTube video in like the first day. But beyond all that, like he just makes great fucking music and I love Drake.
Do you think he is getting to the point of becoming 50 Cent?
No.
Really? Okay.
With whatever you're going to... No. Drake's music is versatile in the fact that you have Hennessy Drake, which is like his slow paced. He sings a little bit on the track. He then does
50
sing
on his tracks too.
Auto tuned.
And you're telling me that Drake is good compared to 50? Drake,
yes.
Drake's
yes,
singing sucks
sure.
too. It sounds like a slowed down rap.
I'm not saying that he's the best singer. What I'm saying is that the reason why he won't fall into
that's hell singing hearing Drake
fall
sing. Nonstop.
I disagree.
Yeah. I'd take him over B-52s.
Any day.
Hey!
And then he can also do rock, he can also do for free with
the
DJ Khaled, where he can do something super soft, you know, do something very sexual with Rihanna, and then do something like very misogynistic with DJ Khaled.
Right.
Like,
or Lil Wayne, you know?
Yeah. And then, or, I mean, he can put out some mixtapes and destroy a rapper when he gets called out. Like, He Drake can print money right now because everything 50
Cent
he,
did mixtapes.
But 50 Cent never
performed with females. He went after males. What is Drake doing that he's not doing?
The quality. 50 Cent's quality dropped when he put out that Live Free or Die Rich or
and
whatever.
Who's producing Drake's beats these days, Dan?
I don't know.
Okay. So we don't know the quality of this shit at all.
We're talking about the quality of his lyrics, the quality of his raps, the quality of the music. Like, he's versatile in the fact that you the reason why he's more successful than a lot of rappers is because he can put out music that can be played at multiple venues. He can put out a club beat. He can put out a beat that you're hitting in a hip-hop bar. He can put out a beat that is with techno music. He can put out a beat that's played on 93.3, which is the most poppy station alive. Like, he's very versatile.
I will agree with that, but that puts him up to the tier of Taylor Swift with me. It doesn't separate him from Taylor.
Is 50 Cent on the same level as Taylor Swift?
Well, what I'm saying is, yeah, like at around that time, that music, it was just stretching across all genres. I mean, you had him doing slow R&B hits. You had him doing
slow R&B hits. You talking about 21 questions
and shit like
that?
Yeah, that
was all Nate Dogg.
He also never had an album that was on the Billboard number one for 9 weeks in a row.
I mean, yeah,
that doesn't mean anything.
It does, but. I mean, on that, we could probably argue digital shit like that. What's digital now?
I would
now
rather watch Degrassi versus 50 Cent's movies.
I would rather see Drake in a wheelchair, too, at the end of the day. But we're not talking about that.
And the fact that Drake can do comedy, too. The fact that he's been on SNL, he's hosted SNL.
Oh, he's so funny.
Hilarious.
He's actually kind of funny.
No, he's not.
The Canadian black guy.
Okay,
kind
so
of funny.
Brett hates Drake. That's
no, I'm not saying it like that.
This thing.
I'm not saying it like that. But I'm like, saying if
you better
saying,
be careful, he's gonna.
He's gonna
kill you.
Drop
like,
a back to back to back.
I'm saying
track
that if we are saying
Cleveland
that he
Cavaliers
is,
three in a row.
If his worth gets him to the top of the charts and keeps him there because he's versatile and he's stretching into all genres.
Have you listened to the album?
It's not his first thing that he's done.
Have you listened to the album?
Yes.
Completely.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I personally don't like it. No, I think a lot of it sounds the same. Regardless if the beat's changing, his tone, the way he raps, the pace, it's all the same to me. And that's where, at the end of the day, I don't think he's foundationally good as an artist. Where production,
because even between One Dance and For Free, those are two different tempos.
Production value. That's what I'm saying. Is when the producer's behind it, the producer makes him much more valuable because the producer's creating him into these versatile venues. That's what I think is behind the thing at the end of the day is just like you had 50, just like you have Taylor Swift, you have somebody that knows the ear to that genre and is then producing a track for that genre. And then they're coming out with 10 tracks of an album that's stretching into 7 different genres. And people are going, shit, man, they did well with that R&B track. They did well with that EDM track. They did really well with that soft spoken. Like they're... When you've got a production behind it that knows exactly how to sell that shit, it doesn't matter with the artist.
That's I'll agree with that to a certain extent, but you also can't deny the fact that Drake can jump into all of those other genres that you mentioned. He can make a song that can compete with a Taylor Swift song. He can make a song that can compete with 50 Cent. He can make a song that could probably compete with Adele if he wanted to, but none of them can go into...
A hip-hop setting?
Yeah, can play that style of music and still have the same success that he can.
And
so,
you can look over, it's just not one album. Like,
completely
all of his
understand.
Albums
but
his
does that
mixing.
Make you a master of none? Like, at that point, like, does his quality somehow diminish because
no,
he's
a master
good
of his
going
own
across
sound.
Everything?
That's what it is. He's a master
the
of
sound
his
sounds
own
the same,
sound.
Though. I think to somebody that doesn't really appreciate... What you think he's doing on a down, like a very, very low level, it sounds all the same.
I disagree
as well.
Okay.
I can pick five songs where he sounds completely different.
Yeah.
Okay. From a production standpoint?
No,
or
from his raps,
okay.
From his tempo, like, just, yeah. There's five songs easily that he's put out that sound completely
and
different.
And I mean, this is getting really nitpicky, but do you think that was at all motivated by the production?
No.
That he was going to
I'm
jump
going
on
all the way
with that
back
track.
To his LP. Like,
or do you think
successful.
He wrote those lyrics and was saying, hey, I'm gonna deliver it this way, with this pace, with this tone, then presented it to a producer, and the producer was like, all right, I'm working with what your idea is, and we're going to make this a hit. Do you think that's actually how it happened?
Yeah, I'm putting the credit to Drake.
I think it's the opposite.
No.
But that's how rap works. You don't.
I totally get. Yeah.
Yeah. You listen
to
the beat and then create the song.
I'm not saying he doesn't
have
strong producers, but I'm just saying like you can only go so far on great produced beats. Yeah. And a great example for that would be 50 Cent, because he was getting great beats from Dr. Dre and Eminem. And once that stopped, once he tried to make music and beats on his own, and they didn't have that big of a hand, you can't name one song after those two albums and after the G-Unit album.
And that's what I think is, like, getting down to the most nitpicky part of it, I think that is the reflection of the artistry, is the people that actually know what they're doing that want to work with you. And you see that with Drake right now. So, like, that is a reflection of him being a good artist, but how much of it is actually
him? This
is the
thing. It's not Drake getting the features that makes his songs good. It's the
songs
that
I would completely argue that.
It's the songs that get Drake as a feature that are good.
No.
If you look at Rihanna's tracks, the ones that Drake are on tend to be some of the most popular. If you look at DJ Khaled's tracks, the ones that Drake tend to be on seem to be the most popular. If you look at Future's tracks, the ones that Drake tend to be on are the most popular.
We're all talking about different producers, though, Dan. These are all different producers that are all getting into different venues, like different genres of this music that they're all going,
what,
like,
I'm telling,
dude,
you,
I can totally,
is that
get you to produce.
Drake doesn't follow the success. The success follows Drake at the moment.
I think,
and you can't prove it otherwise.
Yeah.
I think it's a very, very convoluted thing right now where I don't know if you can acknowledge the success on either of the sides.
Oh,
of
100%. Because all of other, everything else,
every
that
artist
Future
is like that,
is on, is not as successful as Jumpman. Every other song that Meek Mill had without Drake, not as successful.
I mean, even
as
Lil Wayne now.
Yeah.
If Lil Wayne doesn't put a track out with Nicki or Drake,
or
Jay-Z, Lil Wayne's,
right,
it's not successful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
He,
like,
even
when you
says,
look at the music business, yeah, like,
if we're going to have a hit if we put Drake on every track.
So
that's coming from Lil Wayne.
So I totally get that. I totally get that. But I think there's still an argue for the artistic merit that's involved with what he's bringing to the table and what's happening on the other side that's actually
but
making the
product. But you
can't
tell me what he's not producing when he's producing.
You know what? We'll look,
well,
at an album right now. We can literally look at an album right now and tell you exactly what he's producing and what he's not producing. That we can literally look at that right now.
We can take that.
I also think it's
episode.
Subjective too, yeah. Because you can make the argument for just say like DJs. And saying, okay, well, they don't necessarily make the music that they're scratching and mixing, so is what they're doing technically music.
Well, yeah, but I would say, like, on that note,
why does Zed get the credit?
Is their talent,
if he's not singing,
if we were
going to
compare
than,
it, but if we were going to compare it with that, what I would say is, like, why? So you would not expect that Florence and the Machine made Calvin Harris's track. That's just not the case. So I think that is the situation with Drake right now, is you have a lot of well producers, people that know the genre, people that know that they're going to make the music that hits the ears properly, and they're conveniently putting some little tap on the top that's actually selling that product. This year, last year, it was Drake. That's what I think is happening.
Well, for the past about 5 years.
It's okay, strange. I get it. Whatever. I don't care how long it lasts. It's that doesn't sell me on how... me wanting to buy his individual album and listen to 12 tracks made by him. It doesn't make sense. How much he's laid his dick across how many genres and made good songs off of it, it doesn't make me want to go, okay, now he's making a rap album, I'm going to listen to a rap album by him. It just doesn't do it. That's me personally.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, he gets the girl's ass shaken.
He does.
So he's got my vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And he's got Billboard's vote for the 9 straight weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably 10 after this.
Yeah. You know, he's going to get the Pop Not Soda push.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And he'll be on there for about 13 more hours.
Is that
fall.
The album that ripped the GTA images too? Like the Grand Theft Auto 5 images? Do you guys hear about that? Like him.
No.
Is he holding the dog in that album?
No.
No.
Like the Rottweiler?
On, he's sitting on a.
Are you talking about like DMX? Like, what?
No. I think
you're talking about Drake.
Yeah, I think that is. I
no,
think it's this
Drake
album.
Is sitting on
this
top
album?
Of...
No, he's like sitting on top of like a big freaking
the Space Needle.
Yeah, like Space Needle that they have.
Yeah. Okay,
and
okay.
Then,
maybe
his
it's the last album.
No, his last album is him like at a table writing, and then the album before that is just a character like a artistic like rendition of like a portrait of his face like.
Well, then
like
there was the 6 one too, right? Where it's the 6 on the front.
Well, that was a single, right? Wasn't it? Was that?
I thought
album?
That was the mixtape that he.
Oh, that was
released.
The mixtape, and then he has the "Hold On, We're Going Home," where it's like his kid face with his face. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't have any of the GTA. No, I don't know what album.
I mean, I'd say let's look it up, and if there is anything with GTA and Grant and Drake, and you know, he's probably not as original as we think he is. So,
I mean, technically, the argument wasn't original. We were saying talented right. and good to listen to, and he's trying to prove.
So that. You're telling me if somebody paints a canvas and then I'm the one that brings it to the museum, I'm the one that should take all the credit for it? That's my originality.
That's completely different.
Yeah,
you're not,
because he's making the music. Yeah, I mean, that's just how
he's writing the lyrics.
So I made
he's
the
rapping
paint to the paint. Like I'm just trying to figure
so
out where
what
it's at.
You're saying is the person that made the paint should get all the credit.
I'm saying the producer gets
Drake
no credit. You look at Drake's album. Like, let's look at Drake's album right now and how many producers are on it. How many people are talking about producers right now that are on that number one album that has been potentially beating Adele now? No one.
I mean, DJ Khaled.
Okay, DJ Khaled. One producer. And how many producers are on that album right now? That's what I'm saying is, like, the originality behind it is not something that warrants such a... like a fan fever
well,
over
you're
it.
Talking about the entire rap game mostly.
Yeah,
then.
Exactly.
You're talking about like 98% of the entire hip-hop game.
So maybe rap, I mean, I don't know. How many songs did Adele write?
But everybody has producers in the music business. Like,
yeah, it's not like
you're
Adele
talking
produced
about bands,
all of her.
Like, yeah, like you're saying. So what you're just talking about, you're picking on Drake, but you're talking about a music industry problem as a whole.
No, dude, I like original artists.
Yeah, but they have producers that fits their stuff.
Look at Jack White. Who produces his stuff? Jack White.
That's
look at
one,
other people.
That's
that,
one instance, but I'm saying you can go through bands that you like, and you're going to find that they're like Rick Rubin works with so many artists on producing their
I
music.
I get it, and that's why I'll follow Rick Rubin.
So
that's
like
going to be following finding artists.
You don't like
because
Eminem.
I'll listen to Rick Rubin finding other artists,
so
but I won't
Eminem
listen to other artists
talented.
That have found Rick Rubin and said, "Listen, dude, I'm desperate. I got to get a Rick Rubin
well,
track."
What I'm telling you is you're saying like Eminem is not talented.
No, I'm not saying that at all. Eminem's completely talented.
Well, Dr. Dre,
but I never discovered Eminem because...
Well, what I'm saying is Dr. Dre produces most of his hits, and then his whole album was produced with Rick Rubin.
Because I like Dr. Dre, too.
But so, yeah,
so you just don't like Drake.
Yeah, you just don't like Drake. What we're getting to the fact is that you just don't like Drake.
I don't think he is an original artist, and I don't think his originality that we're putting over air quotes right now warrants any sort of value to get
yeah,
a number one.
We just got to the point you just don't like Drake.
No, I don't think he's an original artist. I do not. I think that there's no differentiation with the songs. When I hear one song, when I hear another song on the radio, it sounds the exact same to me. When he sings the hooks sound the exact same to me. It's in a low tone. It vibrates my ears. I can't hear it. Like, he doesn't enunciate his words a lot of the time. Every single song sounds the same to me.
Oh, so
except for when a producer makes it sound different.
So he's listed as a producer for One Dance, Hotline Bling, the Control.
Was Hotline Bling on this album?
It's a bonus
no.
track.
Okay.
But it's a bonus track because it was a single from last year.
Okay.
If you listen to our
the Hotline
episode,
Bling Drake
that.
Remix that was produced by him.
He's the producer for Jumpman. He's the producer for Started from the Bottom. He's the producer for Hold On, We're Going Home. He's
These are all the songs
on
I don't
Forever.
Like.
He's producer on Take Care. He's producer on Marvin's Room. Like,
okay, so maybe this is why I don't
so
like his album. Because it
all
sounds the fucking same. Because it all sounds the fucking same.
You can't tell me that Hotline Bling, One Dance, Jumpman,
yeah,
and exactly. Forever all sound the same and Best
hey,
I Ever Had.
My name's Drake. What's up, y'all? Nah. Nah. Singing hooks.
What we have
yeah.
learned today is Brett does not like Drake.
Yeah, or the black card in general.
Yeah,
no, it's not the black card. Don't you motherfuckers pull that on me. Don't you dare drop that shit on me.
Listen to the start of the show.
Check the Facebook video. It's on the Facebook video yeah. too.
Facebook feed live.
What the hell was that?
I mean, you just assumed that John Jones.
Oh, shut up. I hate you guys so much. We're not even talking about that.
All
right.
Oh, man.
Drake that's a good way. Skinned. That's a good wrap
yeah,
to the episode
we're,
right
we're
now.
We're going to wrap this episode before it goes any further downhill. Thank you for listening. Be sure to check out that Facebook video if you missed it. You can get a live, or I guess a past look in, to the studio and our recording. You can find us throughout the week on popnutsoda.podbean.com and iTunes podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe. New episodes every Monday. You can find us on Twitter, our show account at pop_notsoda. Brian is at BOwen619. Brett is at Niece's Pieces, and I'm at Dan_Perez_. And then find us on Facebook as /popnutsodaofficial. Until next time, we have been your weekly sits patch of pop culture.
And we're going to outro with a Drake song, but we like you too much.
No, One Dance is great. Let's cue One Dance.
Do not cue One Dance. Cue Jumpman.
I mean Jumpman.
Jumpman, please.
Fighting over shit.